It is good to have the opportunity to speak here today because obviously Pastor Dan and Miss Denise are away. They are on vacation. They'll be back this week. And so come back. If you're a guest with us, we would love for you to come back Sunday. Listen to Pastor Dan, our lead pastor, is a fantastic communicator of God's Word, has been here at Crossroads for over 30 years. Many of us in this room are a product of the ministries that God used through him. And so I'm excited to be able to fill in for him. I don't take it lightly, but it's exciting to be able to do it kind of leading up to Thanksgiving. It's an opportunity to talk about thankfulness, gratitude, and also observe the Lord's Supper, which is something that we do in remembrance of who Jesus was, what he's done, and a way for us to give thanks to him. So looking forward to that today. It's an awesome week, really. Usually, Thanksgiving's an awesome week. I think it still will be an awesome week, but it's going to be a little different with COVID, right? Everything has changed to 2020 because of COVID. And how many of you are looking forward to 2021? Amen. Yeah, there you go. So Thanksgiving might look a little bit different this year. I know it will for us. But this week is a time for us to remember to give thanks. And many people celebrate Thanksgiving. They celebrate it based on the fact of what Abraham Lincoln did when he made the proclamation in 1863 to establish, you know, this coming Thursday and every year that fourth Thursday of the month as Thanksgiving, a time for us to give thanks for. And it's cool if you ever go read that proclamation about how much Abraham Lincoln focused on the Almighty God and his provisions and what he's done. And so giving thanks is an opportunity this week for us to remember that. But you know, Thanksgiving is something that took place way before even the Pilgrims and the Indians came together, the Native Americans came together on that great day. The principle of being grateful isn't something new. It's something that was done throughout the Old Testament, and Paul mentions it in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I want you to listen to this verse. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 this morning, but I want to read this verse to start. It says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The Bible says to give thanks, and that is God's desire. This is the will of God, is to give thanks. It was what he desired for mankind to be able to do. Think about it with parents. You know, as our children begin to talk, one of the first things that we teach our children, you know, after you get them to try to say mom and dad, you know, that battle between who gets the first rights of they said mom first or dad first. But then what are you always telling your kids anytime something good happens to them, somebody gives them something? Hey, don't forget to say thank you. You know, we teach them the words of being thankful. But many times we neglect to teach them truly what thankfulness is. We want them to recite thank you, but we forget to teach them what thankfulness and gratitude really is. Thankfulness is something that should be reflected in your attitude every day. But how many times do you find yourself not acting in a thankful way? I mean, how many times have you had a struggle in your life and you totally didn't even think about the blessings that you do have in life? We allow those things to flood us and to remove the true gratitude that we should have. You know, believers especially should have an attitude of gratitude. And that's what I want us to see this morning. How do we have that attitude of gratitude? We find it difficult many times to maintain that attitude of gratitude, but here's some thoughts I want us to see today. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 15. So if you would, grab your Bibles, go to that with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Paul's writing, he's writing to the church, he's writing to believers. He actually says in verse 1, "If you then were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above." He's speaking to believers who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So in verse 15, he says, "Let the peace of God, to which also you are called in one body, the body of Christ, the church, rule in your hearts. Let it control your hearts, let it have rule. And be what? Thankful." He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Thanks to God the Father through him." In three verses, we see the word thanks used twice. because it is something that God desires of us, to be thankful, to give thanks. And so maybe this morning you've recognized, hey, with COVID, a lot of people get distracted and forget to give thanks. Many times we're going through, we're listening to the numbers, we're listening to reports, you know, we're in an election year, we've listened to all that. And all of these distractions cause us to forget to give thanks. And so how can we do it? How can we maintain an attitude of gratitude? And how can my attitude reveal my gratitude of God's goodness to those around me? We're going to see three things from the passage here this morning. So the first one is this. I want you to get it in your notes, in your handout there. It says, recognize the free peace of God. The free peace of God. Notice what Paul says there in verse 15. Let the peace of God, to which also you are called in one body, rule in your hearts. Two key words really in that verse is let and rule. It's something that you have to allow, and it's something that you allow complete control of in your life. Have you ever been given something for free that you actually wanted? Think about it. A lot of times we get things for free that we don't want. Coming up on Christmas, right? How many of you have ever been sitting around opening gifts and you open that gift and you're like, where did this come from? Well, the truth is it came from the checkout line as they were coming out and they thought, oh, I forgot about so-and-so. Let me grab something for them real quick so they have something to open as we get together. And lo and behold, you got the latest and greatest $3 LED flashlight that makes its way to the garage a week later to the side of the street and it's gone, you know? But sometimes we do. We get those free gifts and it's something that we truly desired, something we needed, something we've been waiting for. And when we're given that gift, it means something, and it changes the way that we're grateful. What would most people have on their list? Or I would venture to say, if we had to say, make a list of what you would love to have given to you, just in life in general, I think the number one answer would be peace. People have sought after peace, I believe, since you go back to Genesis chapter 3. Think about it. When God created Adam and Eve, and they were there in the garden, and they had everything, it was perfect. They had peace with God. They had peace with each other. They had peace with God's creation and all the animals and everything there. But then when Adam and Eve, you know, they got deceived, you know, as Satan came and he said, look, you can be as gods if you just eat of the fruit. And so they went and they took of the fruit that God clearly said, you know, you can have anything in the garden except for this. And so they took of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate that fruit, it says that their eyes were opened. Well, if you notice, when their eyes were open, what else happened? They sought to hide from God. They went, and the peace that they had with God previously was gone. And so now they're trying to hide from God. And in a sense, what are they trying to do? They're trying to find peace again. But instead of trying to draw close to God, they ran from God to seek peace. They couldn't find it. And God, in his incredible love and mercy, does what? He seeks after them. He comes and finds them. And he provides them clothing. He provides them covering because they had lost their peace and their, you know, they were now had that awkwardness when they realized that they were naked, the Bible says, and ashamed. And so God provides for them. And ultimately we know because there was going to be a lack of peace between man and God because of that sin, what would God do? He would send his only son to be the once and for all payment for sin, creating peace between man and God once and for all, for those who would allow it and accept it. So as mankind searches for peace, he's not going to find it anywhere else other than in a relationship with God. And God knew that from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3 as he sought to go and provide that peace. Isaiah records this in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of peace. Peace came down. God provided the peace. Peace is not bought. It's already been paid for by Jesus and offered for all of mankind. You see, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came and he provided the way for us to have peace again with God. All we have to do is accept it. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Rob? How does that apply if I don't have that peace? Well, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it's up on the screen, says this: therefore, since we have been justified by faith, it's not by my works, it's not by something that I do, it's not by my church attendance, it's not by my church membership, it's not by how many verses in the Bible I've got memorized. No, it's by faith that I'm justified. Because of that, we have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing I've done but what he's done. You see, what we have to recognize is Romans 6:23, the next verse up here, because the wages of sin is death. That's our separation from God. That's the lack of peace, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's peace. Eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Where's peace found? Where's eternal life found? It's found in Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. Well, how do you have that? You know, I don't know what to do to allow that. The Bible doesn't let us down. It continues to give us the information we need. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you recognize that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God who died and he rose again. It says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There you find true peace. Peace with God for eternity. And so the greater the gift, the greater the gratitude usually is. If you think about it, the greater the gift that somebody gives you, the greater the gratitude in return. And there is no greater gift than life in itself. When someone's life is rescued by another, the rescuer becomes well known as a result of the one that was rescued because they're grateful. How much more grateful should we be than the one that has provided eternal life for us? We don't have to fear death because he's overcome death. If you know the peace of God through Jesus as your personal Lord, then you have every reason to live a life of gratitude. It's right there. It's one and done. But we struggle with that, don't we? We struggle just to keep our focus on that. But we need to recognize the free peace of God. But not only does recognizing the free peace of God lead to that life of thanksgiving, but number two, I want you to get here this morning, is your attitude is going to reveal your gratitude when you remember the riches found in Christ. The riches found in Christ. True peace with God and eternal life is found in Christ, but there's so much more. Imagine for a moment somebody provides you a gift. You receive a gift. Talking about gifts, we're leading up to Christmas, right? Some of you are already starting to think, oh, wait, I haven't even started my shopping list yet. You know, settle down. You still got a little bit of time. It's only the 22nd. You still have like a month. How many of you are last-minute Christmas shoppers? How many of you have already got your Christmas stuff all bought? You guys are sick. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But really, think about for a moment, you get a gift provided to you. Somebody gives you something that you desperately need. Maybe it's a car. And you need that car because you need to be able to get to work. You need to provide for your family. You need to provide for yourself. And really, in order to be able to do that, you need a, you know, transportation, something reliable. And somebody gives you a car so that you can take care of yourself and get to work on time and provide. And what if you went to get insurance on that car, though? You got the free gift, but now you go to get insurance. And when you go to get insurance on the car, you find out that it's already been insured under your name and paid for life. Like, ooh, that's something I didn't count on. That's great. There's a little bit of a blessing within the gift. Then you pull up to the gas pump, you fill up the gas tank, and then on the screen it reads, paid in full. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have to pay for gas. I don't have to pay for insurance. And I was given this car. These are some great riches that are contained within the gift that you thought was great in itself. But there's so much more within it. There's so much more to the life in Christ than just eternal life. I think so many of us as Christians, we get distracted by, oh yeah, I have eternal life. I've got my get out of hell free card, some people will say, and we go on just living that, okay, I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. And that's true and that's great and we need to be thankful for that. But there is so much more in Christ than just eternal life. There's so much within his life that he desires for us to enjoy. What if you found that car, you know, you were given that car, you found you had insurance, you had gas and everything else, but you never used it. You didn't use the gas in the car. The car is yours. It's there, but you never use it. What good is the gift if you don't use the gift the way that it was intended? One of the ways that we can use the riches of Christ within our lives is with gratitude. Ways that we show gratitude for the things that we've received are by the way that we take full advantage and putting them into use for the purpose they were given. Notice back in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, let. Again, that key word let, meaning that you have a responsibility. It doesn't just happen. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You let the word of Christ. The word of Christ is also known as the life of Christ, all right? The word in context is speaking of the life, the lifestyle. And so the life of Christ and his word dwells within us when we accept Christ as our Savior. And we have to then turn around and share those riches. You know, going back to the idea, if you had the car and you had unlimited resources within the car for fuel, and somebody called you up and said, hey, I need to get up to the hospital. I'm not feeling real well. And the hospital might be a 30-minute drive. We're blessed here. We've got hospitals all around us. But some people, a hospital could be a good hour away. And that person says, hey, I need a ride. Now, maybe if you're paying for your own gas, your first thought is, well, that's going to be tough. Now I got to pay for the gas to get there and back, you know? But if you have a gas tank that's essentially always going to be full for you, you're more liable to say, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll take anybody anywhere that needs it. I've got all the gas, no problem. I got you covered. And you use that resource in a way to share it with others. But many times as Christians, what we lack is sharing the resources that we have from Christ with others. It's kind of like with the gas. We're afraid that if I use too much gas, I won't have enough for me when I need it. But with Jesus, it's not like we use the resources and then we're depleted and we don't have any more. We always have the riches of Christ. And in fact, the more we use the riches, the more we get back from him to use again and continue to use. It's sharing his life. What does that life look like? Philippians chapter 2 is a great passage. Philippians 2, 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The life, the mentality of Jesus. Again, that word let, it doesn't just happen. You have to seek for it. You have to want it. You have to open yourself up to it. And it says, who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And he goes on to say that, but he emptied himself. What's that mean? It means he came as the Son of God, but he didn't come with that banner and use it to hit people over the head. He came and he humbled himself, he emptied himself, taking upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. You see, the riches of Jesus is the humility and the willingness to give his life up for the betterment of others, to care for others. The mind of Christ is yours to use and share with others. And you're to share Jesus' life, love, and message with others. Part of Christ's riches was his unconditional love and care for others. You read through the Gospels, what do you see? You find Jesus always taking time when there was somebody in need. I think about the woman who just tried to reach and touch his garment to heal her blood infirmity. And Jesus felt that that had been taken out of him. He didn't just go, okay, well, somebody just got healed, and he kept on going. He stopped, he turned, and he took care to talk to her. The woman at the well, he took time to care and talk to her. The woman who was brought to him in adultery, he took time and cared and talked to her. Jesus always had time to look to the needs of those that had a need, to hear their need, and to meet that need. And if we're here today and we're grateful for who Christ is and what he's given to our life for eternal life, we need to recognize the riches that come with that and use those. Because caring for others is a way that we reflect our gratitude. And one of those ways in caring for others, and there's several ways, and I'm going to give you a couple of them real quick. How can we care? How do we show our generosity by caring for, or our gratitude by caring for others? Number one, use your generosity to provide a need for somebody. Provide the needs of others with generosity. Today is also a day that we're kicking off our ministry that we do during Christmas time called Anthony's Stocking. Anthony's Stocking is an opportunity for us to show generosity to families in need. It was started out of a family. I'm going to show you here a video in just a moment. A family from our church who lost their 12-year-old son to cancer. And now it's an opportunity because of Anthony's generosity that he had in his life as a 12-year-old to be generous and to bless families in need this Christmas season. So sit back and watch this video.
Hello, my name is Al, and this is my wife, Jamie. When Anthony was sick in the hospital, he asked us when he started to feel better if he can come back and dress up as a superhero and bring gifts to the kids. And it just excited us that he wanted to do that.
He was able to do that one time before losing his own cancer battle. We've continued that ministry in his honor. We bring goodie bags to the kids on the oncology floor at Arnold Palmer Children's Hospital each holiday. So Anthony's Stocking takes that generous spirit that he had a step further. Around the same time Pastor Clint was helping us find families for these baskets, someone had told him about a ministry in New Jersey called Matt's Stocking. Matt's Stocking was birthed from a hurting family that also lost their 12-year-old son and brother.
As soon as Pastor Clint shared this information with us, we were just so excited and we just loved the idea. And we just also knew that because of the giving spirit of our church family, it'd be a great opportunity for you guys to be a blessing at Christmas time as well.
Yes, so we started to do some research at the beginning of the year and we reached out to Matt's mom and she graciously shared with us how they operate and gave us her blessings, said that they would be very honored if we started Anthony's Stocking here in our own community. So the thought of Anthony's Stocking being empty at Christmas time just breaks our hearts. So we're going to let the love of Christ through all of us fill up Anthony's Stocking for those children in need in our community and also for families who have children that are fighting cancer.
Yeah, we are so excited to fulfill this mission with you, our church family. We thank you in advance so much for your love and your support and your prayers, and we look forward to seeing what God will do with this.
Amen. You know, it was Anthony's generosity, even in a trial in his life, and I know the Franzinis personally, and I knew Anthony very well, and his generosity was even evident in a time of trial in his life because of his gratitude and his thankfulness. Anthony knew Jesus as his Savior. Anthony had put his faith and trust in Christ, and he was grateful to God even in the midst of the trial that he was going through, and it was a horrible trial, but yet he still had a desire to be generous to others who were in need. And it's an opportunity for us to show our gratitude to God by being generous. And if you have been blessed, if you're able to do that and support families in need, this is an incredible year to do it. I know not everybody can, but there's some families in our community that have been affected by COVID. They're hurting, they've lost jobs, maybe their income's been cut in half, and their Christmas is going to look a little different this year. Some families aren't even going to be able to have a Christmas. And we want to be able to step up and fill those stockings for those kids, fill those needs for those families. And so out in our lobby when you leave, or when you came in, you would have seen them, but there's a couple of fireplaces set up with stockings on those. You can go and you can take one of those stockings, and there's information out there about how we go about collecting those gifts and getting them back to the families. You can go on our website, sierrabible.com/Anthony, and you can get more information there, as well as applications for those families that need help. But generosity is one of the ways that we can show our gratitude in caring for the needs of others. Another way is that we give our time to help somebody. You know, maybe we don't have the resources, the financial resources to be a blessing, But maybe you can be a blessing to somebody with just spending time with them. Maybe you can be a blessing to somebody who you know has a need. Maybe it's a widow that just needs some stuff done around their house. Maybe it's a family who is struggling, but they can't take care of things. Maybe you can step in and provide some transportation. Or there's always ways that we can help others, but the problem is we don't see those things because many times we're focused on ourselves. We miss the opportunities to see the needs and the lives of others and how we can use our time, maybe our resources. Maybe it's just a friendly smile at the right time that somebody needs. Maybe it's, and I know some of you are thinking right now, you can't see my smile behind my mask. There's something about the eyes when somebody smiles. Even with a mask, you can see that somebody's smiling at you. And sometimes it's that smile and the time to take to say, hey, I see you, I recognize you, and I'm thinking about you, and I care about you by just a smile. I know some people in this room have probably been encouraged just by a random smile from a stranger. We can do that to show our gratitude to God and his people that he loves. And don't forget that there is an opportunity for us to sing, to encourage others. And if you are like me, you're thinking, there's no way that my singing would encourage anyone. But notice what Paul does say. He doesn't leave that out. In fact, of all the things he could identify specifically, notice what he says in verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, one of the things I love a lot of things about Clayton. But one of the things that I find most encouraging to me is what he does in leading worship up here for the church on Sundays isn't just something he does on Sundays. I'm in the office with him, and I can hear him singing from his office and other places within the office building. And you just hear him singing all of the time, it seems like. Not because he's a worship leader or anything like that, but he just genuinely sings. And you know what? That can be encouraging. There's many times hearing somebody singing brings encouragement to those around them. And so don't neglect it. If you happen to just be so excited you want to shout and sing, go for it. You know, it doesn't matter what it sounds like. I'm working on that. So let it be done. Let it be heard. A life recognizing that free peace of God and remembering the riches that are found in Christ is more than enough to make a person thankful, or at least it should be. But number three here this morning, it's kind of like the icing on the cake I want you to get. If you want to live a life of gratitude, you need to reveal the name of Jesus through your life. Through your life. The name of Jesus becomes known through your life. We're on the end of, or what we think is the end of an election year. And within the election year, what happens, you know, those months leading up? You're driving around, and on every street corner, many, you know, neighborhood houses have things out in their yards. We see signs, we see flags, we see posters, we see billboards. We see all of these things to make a candidate known, right? We have people that want a candidate to be recognized. They try to get the word out. People that maybe have never heard of that candidate, they're trying to get them known. All of this for the purpose of making somebody known. They put these things out there. Well, for the believer, it should be our desire to make Jesus known. Not like, you know, I mean, it'd be cool you could walk around with a flag that says Jesus loves you, you know, but that's not realistic. You can put signs in your yard. A lot of people wear the t-shirts, right? But none of that makes any difference if your life doesn't match up with it. If your life isn't revealing Jesus, what good is it to tell people who Jesus is if they don't know who he is and your life doesn't reflect who he is? Then they're going to think, I don't care who Jesus is if that's what it looks like. It's about how you live your life in a way that reveals who Jesus is. We're a people who have become so enamored with making ourselves known, we don't think about making Jesus known. You say, well, what are you talking about? We make ourselves known. The other day, I was sitting in a coffee shop, and I was just doing some studying, and this couple comes in, and they order their coffee, they order their food, they go over, they sit down, and it's funny because I'm sitting, how many of you people watch? Well, Some of you are lying because I know more than that. Watch. You people watch. But I was sitting there across the room, and I noticed the girl sits down. The guy obviously sit down, but he wasn't quite as interested in it, but she was. So she takes and she like positions the plates just right. She takes the coffee mugs and positions them just right. And then what does she do? Takes out the phone, snaps a picture. I don't think she was snapping a picture so that she could remember that moment for herself, because then I see her take the phone and she starts typing. What was she doing? She was posting on some social media platform, you know, hey, look what I'm having for breakfast, and look, you know, how great and wonderful it looks. And it did look good. It made me hungry. I was just drinking coffee at that point thinking I should eat. But what we have become are people that are so enamored with ourselves that we want everybody to know what we're doing, who we're with, what we're eating, you know, and all these things. And I'm not bashing people that do that. I know, you know, there's great things because now we can be more connected with people. But it's almost as though we've become so enamored with making ourselves known, we've neglected to make Jesus more known. And we've got to get back to a point to do what Paul reminds us to do. And no matter what we do, God has called us to glorify Him. God has not called us to a particular career, location, or life, but He's called us to glorify Him in those things. Notice what he says in verse 17. Colossians 3:17, he says, "And whatever you do in word or deed," that means no matter what you say or what you do, the two ways that we live our lives, the two ways people identify us is through our words and through our actions. He says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." The important part is making sure that our lives are lived out in a way that people know who Christ is by the way that we live. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to through the years that struggle with, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know if I'm in the right place. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And they've got this mindset that they've got to find the one thing that God has like pre-planned and positioned for them to do. And if they don't find it, they're never going to be happy. And that's not true. Because what the Bible says is that whatever you do, if you're doing it to the honor and glory of Him, you're doing the right thing. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul tells the church here, he says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, the two very most basic things that you can do in your life, actually the two things you don't even have to learn to do because you're born knowing how to eat and drink." And he says, "Or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So essentially, what is God's word telling us? That no matter what we do, it should be done with the intention to make God known. The glory of God, that's glorifying Him, making Him known, making Him identified, revealing Him. So whatever you do, it should be done in a way that people can recognize the love, the grace, the peace, and the power of God. The simplest things, like eating and drinking, are to be done with the purpose of glorifying God. Doesn't mean there's like this proper way to eat where you've got your fork and your knife and your spoon and everything laid out in the right place and you eat in the right order. It's not what I'm talking about. But it's all about how you do things. Maybe when you sit down and eat, it's not just about you sitting and eating, but it's about you sitting and providing a meal for somebody else. I know Colleen and I went out to dinner one night recently and, you know, we sat down to eat, we prayed, and at the end of the meal, the waiter says, "Oh, your friends took care of the bill for you." We looked around the room. We said, "Who?" We didn't even know anybody. And they said that the people sitting at the table next to you, you didn't know them? No idea who they were. But how grateful we were for them, reminding us how grateful we are to God for people who care about others. Just a random act, a huge encouragement to us. And what did it do? It revealed to us somebody else's care and love for other people. It's doing those kind of things, no matter what we do, to do it for the glory of God. You know, don't get me wrong, there's things that we can do that are clearly not going to glorify God, and we should avoid those things. But anything that we do that we know is right and is good, What is your career path? You know, people are like, I don't know what career God wants me to do. It's not about that. It's about what are you good at? What are you talented with that you can glorify God in? Maybe you're good with business. And you say, you know what? I'm going to run a business that glorifies God. It's right. It's fair. It's just. And people are going to recognize that. Maybe you're a contractor. You're good with your hands. And you say, you know what? I'm going to be a contractor who is doing things for the glory of God. A doctor, a nurse, a teacher. I mean, I can go down the line. It doesn't matter what it is, but do it to the glory of God and reveal him through what you do and your talents and abilities. That's what's most important. Revealing in the name of Jesus through your life is the best way to express your thankfulness for the life, love, and sacrifice of Jesus. It's the best way to do it. And today, we're going to remember the life of Jesus that he gave as we take part in what Jesus taught his disciples the night that he would be taken away from them. He used bread and juice to symbolize the sacrifice of his body being broken and his blood being shed. And he said to do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of what? Remembrance of his sacrifice. The gratefulness that we have for who Christ is and what he's done. And maybe you're here today and you've never taken communion. You've never done the Lord's Supper. And I want to encourage you that it's not something that is only reserved for like church members. It's not reserved, you know, for people who just pray a certain way or do anything particular. What it is for, according to Scripture, is anybody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Going back to what I said in the beginning, that people who have come to know who Jesus is and have peace with God through Jesus Christ and have eternal life. And Jesus established this, and the Apostle Paul reaffirms it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you want to turn over there, the Apostle Paul identifies and reminds them of what Jesus did that was recorded back in the Gospels. And Paul says, I've received, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, he said, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And before we take the bread and drink the juice, the Bible says he gave thanks. He prayed and he gave thanks, which is why it's so fitting for us on the week of Thanksgiving to take communion. It's a time for us to give thanks to God for his peace, for him seeking after us and wanting to have a relationship with us and not us trying to seek and find him. He came to us and he gave his life for us as a sacrifice, letting his body be broken. And so when you came in, you should have received the cup, and on the top of the cup, there's a clear piece of cellophane. If you pull that back, it reveals the bread, and you can take that. And before we take of the bread and drink of the juice together, I want us to pray and give thanks. So would you bow your heads with me?